You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome, everyone, to another Cooligans and Underdogs collab. The union.
Undercooligans is what we're calling okay. That's what you are right now.
Cooligans?
Yeah.
I like that one better. Yeah.
Cooligans.
Undercooligans sounds like a poor 3D experience that you don't want to be a part
You're
of.
You're like, why is no one else in this group chat?
Nasty in a freezer pack.
But we're excited to be back because it is the Boxing Day Espectacular.
Wow.
Right?
El Boxing Day.
El Boxing Day, okay? and yes, as before, we did this during the Women's World Cup.
That's right.
We joined.
They provided us with stats and they really got into the game.
Exactly, and that's why we don't read. So why we bring them. So joined by here with Alexis Guerrero and of Underdogs, we are here with Jordan Brenner and Peter Keating. What's up, guys?
May I?
Hit him in the penis.
Sure.
Oh, good Lord.
Look, even Witty joined the show.
Yeah, hey, Witty, welcome.
How are you guys doing?
We are great, if I may speak on behalf of my
wife. You may. We're fantastic. Holiday, happy holidays.
So happy to be here with you guys. Couldn't think of anything better to do.
Happy to have you guys back on.
All right. And so this time we're talking about Boxing Day. And in case anyone is not aware of what Boxing Day is, it's some weird British tradition.
It's when the Queen allowed people to look at the boxes of gifts that they received. You don't get them though.
Exactly.
The people didn't get them.
So it's the peasants' opportunity to celebrate the holidays because they're usually working during the holidays, right? So,
and speaking of peasants, we're going to talk about Everton soon, right?
Hey! Yeah. Okay. You see, he's already started with it, okay? Because we're going to talk about.
He gets another.
Look, I just want to say I am here to honor my long-standing favorite team dating all the way back to this August. That's right. Come on, you Spurs.
Yes. Look Tottenham. At that.
Wow.
We're here.
That's right.
Knockout pick for Boxing Day.
I've inspired them to. They are expected to be, mid-table? Mm-hmm. I show up at a game in August. Suddenly, they're challenging for the Premier League title.
They've had,
ever since you got there, they've been good, which is why I'm going to ask you to stop.
Weirdly enough, Tottenham has made me some money this year because I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but in the game Tottenham against Manchester City, that draw, I bet on a draw. And they remember Kulusevski scored right late in the game.
Yes, we all remember.
Yes, we all remember.
Well, I remember they were just talking about this on the subway on the way here. Yeah.
But no, so shout out to...
Did you buy anyone lunch? Like, did you make enough money to... Share the wealth a little?
No. I hold.
No, he hasn't given me any. Yeah.
Does that make up for our Zambia call in the Women's World Cup?
Yeah. All right. So let's get right to it.
That was the team. I was like, what was the team they picked?
Picked to lose, Zambia. Yeah. No, and then they won.
Think about it as Morocco, alternate spelling.
There you go.
So look, we're doing a couple fun things. Obviously, the Cooligans and Underdogs are going to have a parlay. A single game parlay, not single game parlay, right? So
that's how it works. A parlay with
multiple, okay, multiple, okay.
Also known as a parlay.
Parlay. Okay. Just making sure I got the terminology right.
Real quick, parlay.
Okay, we're gonna have one in the DraftKings app, so you can.
How cool is that?
Yeah,
the
fantastic.
We're gonna help people lose like $2-3.
No, hopefully we'll.
I think it's a good one.
We're putting some money in your pocket, right? So obviously the games that we're gonna be focusing on are this Boxing Day. This Saturday, Tottenham is playing against Everton and Liverton.
Liverton.
Love Liverton. All the time. It happens all the time.
Somebody wearing a red shirt in Liverpool just shrieked.
Yep. It's a bad aftertaste from Liverpool. Yeah.
Liverpool.
How'd your uncle die? He got Liverpool. That's really sad.
Liverpool, Arsenal, and then Fulham is also playing against Burnley. So the one we got here is Tottenham moneyline, Fulham moneyline, and Liverpool, Arsenal, both teams to score. So I feel pretty good about
pretty
that.
Pretty good odds, 368.
Plus 368.
That's pretty good odds.
I feel like we're going to get some success here.
And again, just to reiterate here, the Tottenham money line means they are beating Everton.
They are winning against Everton. Yeah. Look, it doesn't feel great to create a parlay. I lost the vote in got the money
line?
Also,
it's Tottenham. I'm on your side here, Christian. I'm like, yo, have some respect on Everton.
You would have,
only because they're playing.
You know what's funny? My Tottenham analytics buddy over here had a whole list of reasons why Everton at plus 295 was a feisty underdog.
Yeah, let me think. Let's talk about this just a little bit because, look, I don't want to come in and say, here's the numbers, here's the analytics.
No, listen, I'm a stats guy.
Everything's about expected goals, but you know, expected goals basically just sums up the chances that your shot's going to score. If you take a point-blank shot and you miss, that you still should get some credit for having created that shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to break it to everybody, but Tottenham, fifth in the standings right now, has a much smaller differential in goals and expected goal and expected goals than in real life goals. They've gotten a little lucky scoring. They've gotten a little lucky in allowing goals. And Everton, I know, naughty, docked 10 points down in the bottom of the standings, but their expected goal difference is actually bigger than Tottenham's. I mean, they've been a little unlucky on both sides, and Everton plays tough defense. They're 5-1-2 on the road.
Right.
And look, the absence of James Maddison is also a little concerning, since he's playing about as well as anybody in the league.
It's just,
so I do have XS, which is a stat about expected suck. And Everton, well, really high up on
it. We're not talking about how fun they are to watch. Everton's not fun to watch.
No.
But based on how you might expect them to do in the second half of this season, it looks like they're going to do better, and Tottenham's not going to do as well. And that makes me wonder about this first leg of the Boxing Day parlay here.
Look, my first thought is Everton. You mentioned they have 5 wins on the road. I don't even know the exact number, but the last 2 seasons or even 3 seasons, Everton have not even come close to winning 5 games on the road. They're constantly struggling to just stay in the league. But this season, something has happened. After that 10-point deduction, the players, the coach, they are galvanized. They are playing so well on the road. And
you think they're more invested?
But talk to me about, so all that
almost
being said,
too invested for
Peter's
some
stats, the road success. Tell me then why you still like Tottenham in this game.
So I think, I don't personally like them.
Wait a minute. Then who actually picked this leg?
It was me.
But I do think, I would probably lean more towards a draw here. But I do think Tottenham has to be the favorites playing at home. And they've been playing pretty well. And they've been beating really good teams.
All right. Well, I feel like we have a lot of conviction here in this being the first leg of the parlay.
Wait, did you say conviction about Everton? Oh, my God.
I think the reason why I think Everton can stand a good chance is because they play a defensive style versus a high line, and that's all they want to do is get in behind. But there's going to be so many opportunities for Tottenham to score. Everton, even though they're a good defensive team and they've won, the stat you're looking at about 5 wins on the road, this has been a galvanizing time for them, and they just suffered a tough loss in a cup competition. So I feel like they're going to come down to earth a little bit more. Right.
So we're sticking with leg one. Tottenham.
I think Tottenham wins.
Should we get?
I think that's why we're getting good odds.
Should we get into leg two?
Yeah.
Let's get into leg two. Leg two is Fulham, Burnley, right?
Also,
Liverpool, Arsenal. Okay, Liverpool, Arsenal.
Both teams to score.
Both teams to score.
Now, what do your stats say about that?
Well, Peter doesn't like this one either.
Look, what jumps out from all the EPL stats is what an outstanding defensive team Arsenal is.
I mean, what a thank you.
I think everyone realizes this, but the margin is staggering. Arsenal is allowing 13.5 shot-creating actions per game. That's the stuff you do right before a shot movement on the field turns into a shot.
So creating a shot comes before the shot? Thank you for the breaking analysis.
Hold on a second. Tell me.
I'm trying to give you the definition so you...
Creation action.
So you create something, and
it's
then
the
it
last
happens.
Two things that happen before a shot happens. They tally those things up.
Yeah.
There are teams that are allowing more
than
30
before
a game.
You continue, I just want to mention something. This is a microphone. And now, in order for this, you need a voice, an amplification creating action.
That's right.
You can adjust that. That bends, but you need to speak into this. If you put your ear is close to this
little,
in your mouth.
I got a little too close to Jordan because my instinct is to strangle him. So I apologize. But
tell me more about how goals are created now, and the babies.
Usually, it's hard to find.
Oh.
You can hit me wherever you want. But the point is, usually it's hard for really good teams to pile up defensive stats because the ball isn't in their own end that much. But Arsenal's winning more than 56% of its attempted tackles. In other words, they try to take the ball away from somebody, they win 56% of the time. That is by far the tops in the league, and they're allowing the fewest chances to create goals and shots of any team in the league. It's tough to get the ball in on them. It's tough to take a shot against them. It's tough to score on them by a pretty huge margin.
Counterpoint.
Right. Yes. I think the counterpoint to that is that they very, very seldom face a team that presses as hard as Liverpool does. And also Anfield is an incredibly difficult place to win. So I think Arsenal wins this game, but I do think that Liverpool will get opportunities at the goal. They've got Mohamed Salah. They've got, depends on who's at the top. If it's Nunez, they'll at least get opportunities. Who knows if he'll actually score them. They're going to get opportunities to score. I think Liverpool poses a bit of a problem for Arsenal's backline. You're talking about how strong they are defensively. I think William Saliba's only been dribbled past twice this season. While that's difficult, I do think that press will cause some issues at some moment.
Well, then let's talk about, because that makes a good case for an Arsenal win.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, oh no, sorry, that makes a case for Liverpool to win, pardon me. Let's talk about why we're betting on both teams to score.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why Arsenal's going to score.
Because they're Arsenal. They're
because
amazing.
They're Arsenal.
Yeah, but they also got Odegaard.
They tend to have a lot of, or just more possession. Mm-hmm. I think they'll beat Liverpool in possession just by a little bit. But again, I think the factor of playing at Anfield, if Arsenal win at Anfield,
it's a huge deal.
Sure. It's a huge deal. I don't necessarily think that they will win. Liverpool are in second place in the table and have even surprised me. The offseason this summer was, no midfield, no like big midfielders wanted to go to play at Liverpool. They basically had to swap out their entire midfield, and there was a lot of uncertainty, and they have figured it out. They're playing really well.
Here's my guess what's going to happen. Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to tuck in. He does great when he moves up into the midfield, but that's going to leave a space open for Martinelli, who's going to cause problems. Either that or Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to have to play back a little bit to stop Martinelli from getting in behind them. So that's my hope.
So if I wanted to place a bet outside of this parlay, mm-hmm. something a little more specific, are we thinking a draw? Are we thinking a 2-1 Liverpool win? Where's your bet?
I think Arsenal wins this. Not just being an Arsenal fan, I do think Arsenal wins this.
But you just see those gaps opening up for scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I also feel like we can defuse their overload in the midfield by Martinelli posing a threat, being
we.
Wide.
We
as an Arsenal.
You were playing what role in this game?
Probably the guy who has a heart attack in the fifth minute. Actually, I shouldn't say that because it's
not my fault. Yeah.
He's
all right.
But he's back. He's back home. He's got a defibrillator put in.
Very good.
That was announced this morning.
Okay, thank you,
Tom Lockyer. But whatchamacallit?
That's good news.
This is a positive. There we go. Round of applause. Welcome back. But I personally, I think Arsenal will get more shots than Liverpool. That would be the other bet I would take.
So that's two legs.
Yeah, so we're just doing both teams to score. That's the second leg.
Yeah, so the third leg. We have Fulham against Burnley, and we just have the Fulham money line. And this feels fairly...
No stats needed. Burnley is dusty.
I don't know, Peter, what you need to look into, but we know that Burnley are very, very bad at home or away, and it feels like... Fulham just won against Everton in penalties, which is absolutely devastating, the EFL Cup. But they looked comfortable. They looked poised. They handled playing at Goodison pretty well. And now this time at home, you would have to imagine they would be fairly dominant against
Burnley.
So
there's no grace period, right? The three teams that get promoted can get relegated because they're the worst teams in that next season. It's kind of sad. Those three teams that just got up are by far the worst in the standings, by far the worst
in
the league.
By far most likely to go down, too.
And they're by far the most likely to go down.
It's like, congrats, here's like a couple hundred million, but yeah. You're going back home.
Enjoy it for one season, if you can.
Okay, so we're expecting that. So those odds are plus 368 in that parlay. Find that parlay in the DraftKings app, so feel free to join with us and see how we do. All right, well, we got a lot more to discuss about this Boxing Day, so come back and join us in just a bit.
We're back. I'm Christian. This is Alexis. These are the stats nerds.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
He's just like, I'm the cool one. He's a bunch of dorks.
I'm surrounded by nerds, dude.
Let's talk a little bit about top four.
Okay. This is a big conversation here.
So we're looking into the future a little bit and what the end of the Premier League season will look like. It already looks a little bit different than I expected. This top four.
I know, right? Tottenham is close. Is that what you meant?
This top four is pretty fascinating. I mean, Arsenal being first right now, not
similar
that much
to last season.
But Liverpool being in second, I mentioned earlier, but very, very shocked.
Bit of a surprise.
Aston Villa.
This is the surprise.
This is unreal that Unai Emery has managed to just get such an incredible result and playing and have this team playing so well the last few weeks. And then Manchester City is probably a bigger shock to me.
Being in fourth
than Aston Villa being in third. But
this is the first time Manchester City didn't as winless in three games straight since December of 2016.
Yes, and they were up. Who they play last? They played against
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, and they were up by two goals. And late in the game, and then they ended up giving up two goals with the late penalty.
Did you see Roy Hodgson laughing at Pep?
Yes, I did see that.
Roy Hodgson done seen it all, dude.
So you're telling me that Tottenham being only a point out of the top four is not the biggest surprise? Because I was assured by a roughly 70-year-old local who took me 20 minutes through a neighborhood to walk to the stadium this summer that Harry Kane, you know, this was mid-table at best this year. They were starting over.
Until Ange Postecoglou came through.
Nobody at that game had any sort of enthusiasm or
that's Tottenham.
Or sense that things were going to unfold. And then I showed up in the stadium, and James Maddison and I... We changed the culture.
The clouds parted without you using your hands at all.
I remember Ange Postecoglou mentioning your name.
Yes. So that's the surprise. And by the way, my boys, my team, my Spurs, you can still get a plus 175 to finish top four. Being only a point out, those are pretty good
odds.
So
they're tightly bunched. But let me ask you guys.
The history of Tottenham, to quote Chiellini, the history of Tottenham is to fail. So not finishing in the top four is just as likely.
Okay, but we're the underdogs. We're the underdogs.
Failed since I've been here, baby.
No, you haven't won anything. There's nothing in the trophy.
But also, we're the underdogs. We got to believe in some outside chance for outsiders to succeed.
We mentioned Aston Villa. Is that not
the underdog? Let me ask you about two clubs. If you line up all these teams in order of the difference between their expected goals scored and their expected goals allowed. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how you should expect them to play over the second half, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got Arsenal, Man City, and Liverpool as the top three. But what about Newcastle? Newcastle, according to just goals, expected goals minus expected goals allowed, are fourth. They're sixth in the standings now. You give them their plus 250 on the betting lines to make the top four. You give them any chance at all?
So it's interesting because they are in very poor form right now, most likely because of all the injuries that they're dealing with. So you have to think that they have a real legitimate shot because look who's in third right now, right? Like Aston Villa, much more of a shock that they're in third, especially with Newcastle and having all the money and investment and getting all these new players. So look, we're looking at it on screen right now, but plus 250 for Newcastle is pretty good for them to be in the top four. That's not crazy.
What do you like better? Tottenham plus 175, Newcastle plus 250.
Tottenham. I'll explain why. Tottenham, when they get their players back, it's a more electric style. It's certainly a style where you say, okay, well, we may make mistakes and you may score. And that's exactly what he's asking Bissouma to do, which is yes, you may be turning into traffic, going into pressure, but be brave and do that. And more often than not, you're going to succeed. But when you fail, it may lead to a goal. So Tottenham will give up goals where Newcastle is a bit more staunch defensively. The problem with Newcastle is Their best defensive player, Kieran Trippier, has been making mistakes lately. This happened when he played for Spurs. It got out of hand, so out of hand that he was being blamed for everything. He ended up having to go play in Spain. That's how bad it got. Is that
won
happening?
A title in Spain, right?
He won a trophy. No. He played well. He found his groove. He got his groove back in Spain. But he had to go to España. You know, you know how the English hate traveling out of England. They're like, oh, what is there, seasoning in this food?
Yeah.
I can't eat it.
He played well in exile.
Yeah, everything's got to taste like mother's milk.
Happy Boxing Day, everybody.
Happy Boxing Day.
But Newcastle, here's the other issue about Newcastle, is they looked absolutely terrible in Europe. And is that... Has Eddie Howe reached a point where maybe he doesn't know how to manage at this level?
I would say the injuries are a huge, huge factor. I don't think Newcastle can get over that hump. Even though they get they'll get some of their players back, that you have to favor Tottenham here because there's something happening this season with Tottenham. And like you said, Harry Kane leaving was like a concern, but there's something to... You know, we don't have to worry about disappointing Harry Kane. Everybody is always like, how can he stay at this club and not win anything? And just year after year, and the amount of pressure that puts on not only Harry Kane, but then also the rest of the players of just like, oh, we got to work hard to give this guy something. And then we always know what happens with Tottenham.
Yeah. So you know the culture of Tottenham, Harry Kane leaves, goes to Bayern, who's won the Bundesliga 11 times in a row or 10 times in a row. They're on the quest for the 11th. Yeah. Not sure. Whatever it is. They're now in second place, and the team above them has broken a record by going 25 games unbeaten.
Right.
So, I just want to mention, also, maybe it's just the Tottenham thing.
Beginning of the
depressing land on earth, everything you've said is just you. The gray skies follow.
Yeah, I mean, right, facts.
With the exception of Jordan's brief stint, apparently. Yes. I mean,
Bundesliga has like the Super Cup or whatever, like the first like
the DFB Pokal.
The Community Shield. Yeah. I forgot what it's called in Germany, but they had that and
he could have won a trophy in his first game.
The DFB Pokal champion plays against the Bundesliga champion. It's like similar to Community Shield and. Bayern lose to RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
And so in his first opportunity for a trophy, Harry Kane misses out on one. So I don't know if that's how it's going to end in the German season. But this is what Tottenham is kind of just they have some optimism.
Yeah.
Which they normally don't have. And not only we're talking about them being top four, but they were in first for a couple weeks.
This is what I bring to the table. But what I also bring to the table is strong pacing on shows. So let's move on from the top four.
Look at that pace.
And talk about goal scorers.
Goal scorers.
So
that
will
too.
Not be Harry Kane leading the league.
No, it will not be Harry Kane. Okay. But Peter, you've done a lot of math.
Ew.
I mean... Convince me that anyone other than Haaland, I mean, that I should even bet on this. You know, you're not going to bet Haaland because it's minus 600, so what's the point? But is anyone going to...
Is that not still the best bet?
To win. But here's the deal.
I mean, if you don't like making money.
Right.
You'll make some money.
Here's the deal. Because all the margins are so narrow and everything to do with soccer, the lines are notoriously low, right? I mean, it's plus 160 as a favorite here, you know, minus 600 to win the scoring title here. Let me throw out one fact to you, okay? Mm-hmm. Among all the top scorers... Now, look, top scorers often have the ability to take a regular shot and turn it into something special where they score.
Right.
If you think
I did a little flick.
I was doing it's my Robert Lewandowski move.
I don't even know what Levin does.
Yeah, well, he shot so well, it changed it to a whoop.
What was that thing you were saying about pacing?
Yeah, exactly. So often their expected goals will... can sometimes be greater or less than, but they're usually right in there with the number of goals they scored.
Right.
Yeah. Of all the top scorers, there's one guy whose expected goals are a lot bigger than what he's actually done. In other words, you could expect him to do better the second half of the season with long shot odds, and that's Nicholas Jackson. What do we think? It's plus 4,000.
Oh, my God.
Plus 4,000.
Wow, producer Mike Malley is doing some sort of a dance in the background.
Somebody other than Haaland or Salah.
The first thing I'd say is I think to drink ayahuasca at breakfast is just probably not what you want to do
it
on a regular basis.
It was one of those
basis.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I haven't heard that name in years.
I know. I realize, but everyone else is the usual suspect is what
right
I'm saying.
Right now, Nicholas Jackson's mom is listening going, no shot.
Well, that's why he is plus 4,000.
You're saying, I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, no.
Well, then.
You don't have to pause for the applause.
Yeah. You can talk over it.
Well, then maybe you should plug the Tottenham score.
Give me some sun. My son has a sun sweatshirt. Yeah. But you're basically banking on a Haaland injury, I think.
Okay, well, he did miss a game just recently. Right. So, I mean,
one injury,
He's also not allowed to play in the final of the Club World Cup, so he will be rested.
He's also not scoring like at the pace that he was last
season.
He's still scoring quite a bit.
He's scoring a lot.
Look, you would have to think, the list that we have in front of us, I mean, the one that I just...
The funniest drafting is Richarlison
in there. Being
Why are you even there, dog?
That's remarkable. But Erling Haaland has to be the favorite. And then, look, as far as...
So this is Haaland, Salah.
Yeah.
Right. If you wanted to bet Son at plus 1,200, he's got 10 goals, so he's four behind Haaland now. So you're not just betting... You're betting him to outscore him by five the rest of the way.
Right.
Okay. So Salah at plus 450 gets you some kind of value somewhere.
All right. All right. Well, then we'll wrap there because obviously there's a huge opportunity for...
You decide.
With our parlay, with some little bit of money. Head over to the DraftKings app and get on board. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us on the Cooligans Underdogs Spectacular. Enjoy your boxing day, everybody. Peace.